This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our friend John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom is now open. Come shop in store today. Golfdom is also offering grab-and-go curbside pickup. Go to golfdomgolf.com for all the details. Golfdom, live the game. Hello, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. It's a beautiful day to play golf.
Yeah, yes, I'm going to play actually right after the show. I got to race out. I hate rushing. I got a 11:11 tee time. I wanted to ask you, John. I know that you've been a longtime member, I believe, at Congressional, among others, I'm sure. But you never really talk about playing. Do you just go there and eat? Like, do you ever play?
I play with my daughters. I play Bridget, who's now in college, and I play with Jane, who's becoming a nice little player at 9. Uh-huh. But I don't really play 18-hole rounds with other adults anymore. I kind of gave them up. I'm not patient enough.
Yeah.
And I get frustrated because once upon a time I was a semi-decent player, and if you don't play at all or practice at all, you're not.
Yeah, you get horrible.
When I used to play with my son Danny, who's now 26, he would get mad at me because I would get mad. And he'd say, you know, what do you expect? So if it's not going to be fun, Why do it? But it is fun when I play with the girls.
Well, it is. You have totally hit on a point, and my golf game has gone down as I've had children, and it's.
I think that happens to almost everybody.
Yes, and so it's hard to get it back because the less you play, the worse you get, and then it just snowballs in itself, and then you're like cakes, and you're like you never want to play again.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and I mean I'll be honest, I can't say I've missed it. You know, I miss the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Of playing with 3 other guys. I miss sitting at the bar. I'll tell you this quick story that sums it up. Several years ago, my brother, who, as you guys know, plays all the time and is a good player, said to me, you need to start playing again. You need to play more often. Let's you and I make a date once a week. We'll go up to Congressional in the afternoon. We'll play 9 holes, and then we'll have dinner together. And I thought that was a good idea, brother bonding, the whole thing. So we went up. It was September. The weather was perfect. Teed it up about 4 o'clock, played 9 holes, and when we were done, and I enjoyed it. Nobody out there. My brother said, you know, it's such a nice evening. Let's play 5-6 more holes. And I said, yeah, it is a nice night. Let's go drink outside.
Exactly.
And he said, well, I want to play a few more holes. I said, I want to drink. And so he went and played, and I went and drank. And I realized that the thing I enjoyed most about playing golf was drinking afterwards.
Yeah. There goes the bonding.
What's your go-to, John?
You know,
the,
you could
the
do both,
cocktail.
John.
It depends. My hard liquor drink for years has been a gin gimlet, although I drink very little hard liquor at this point in my life. I'm more likely just to have a glass of wine.
Right.
I'm not a big drinker.
I'm
enjoy it after a round of golf.
I want to know what a gin gimlet is. I want to know
A gin gimlet is basically gin with lime juice in it. It's just different than a gin and tonic, a little stronger.
Yeah,
When I was younger, I drank gin and tonics, especially in the summer. I've never been a big drinker. You know, I was one of those guys who, when I started drinking, I drank vodka tonics because I couldn't taste the vodka, and I ended up drunk as a skunk.
Right.
Hey, John, I wanted to get your take on the kind of the back and forth, and it actually continued yesterday a little bit between Faldo and Koepka, which started last week, you know, because Koepka was responding to players not being mic'd up or
right.
not wanting to be mic'd up. And then Faldo had a comment yesterday, too. I don't know if you heard it. But, you know, talking about Koepka.
I wasn't watching yesterday. I actually worked yesterday, believe it or not.
Yeah, talking about Koepka withdrawing, and he's probably sitting poolside watching us because he loves watching the scintillating announcers.
He's so snarky. Nick, why is Nick so
anyway,
bitter?
Anyway, so do you think Faldo.
But it's kind of funny. I know,
but do you think Faldo is genuine? Is he bitter at Koepka? Is he bitter at Koepka?
If you're watching on a Thursday afternoon, that means you follow golf. So,
yeah.
The audience knows that Nick is referencing what Koepka said,
of course,
about Nick and about the announcers in general. So I that's not too snarky. I've always liked Faldo's sense of humor. I was lucky when I did A Good Walk Spoiled. I actually spent a good deal of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the guys that I worked with. He was the number one player in the world. He and Nick Price were the number one players in the world at the time, and he's got a good sense of humor. I mean, he's very.
It's very dry, sarcastic.
He wants to be.
Yeah.
No doubt.
He's not my all-time favorite golf announcer because, like most of the guys on CBS, you know, he doesn't really like to criticize at all. But he's got a good sense of humor, but so does Brooks. And it's one of those deals where I like both guys for different reasons. I like Koepka because he'll say anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a hell of a player, and I think he has been underrated. I totally disagreed with what Brandel Chamblee said last year, and I like Brandel a lot, as you guys know, when he said he wasn't in the same class with McIlroy and I guess Dustin Johnson, and that was, you know, a couple of weeks before Brooks went and blitzed everybody in the PGA,
right.
and Brandel looked like a cornerback backpedaling most nights that week, but I like Koepka. I mean, I first met Koepka in 2015. Before he'd become a star, I sat down with him because I thought he was going to be on the Ryder Cup team, and I was working on the first major, and he was on the Ryder Cup team. And I liked him right away. He just had a great attitude, and he was, you know, they left him off the President's Cup team that year, and the only reason he didn't have enough points was because he'd been playing in Europe in 2014, didn't get any points. And he was like, yeah, you know, what the heck? I'll have my chance. My time will come. I'm disappointed. I wanted to play on it. I think it would have been a good warm-up for playing Ryder Cup next year, and I will play Ryder Cup next year. And I liked him right away, and I still like him.
Do you think there's a genuine dislike that Faldo has with Koepka because of all this?
Probably. I mean, you know, look, people hold grudges, especially in golf. Faldo and Sergio Garcia basically haven't spoken since 2008. When Faldo captained the Ryder Cup team and Sergio was sick and Faldo blasted him. I mean, Sergio's been a great Ryder Cup player for almost his entire career, and he had a bad week. And Faldo more or less publicly blamed Sergio, and Sergio never forgave him for that. So,
I don't blame him.
Yeah,
me neither. I mean, you know, I thought, again, I'll say it again, I like Nick. I thought he was a terrible Ryder Cup captain.
Yeah.
Although it did produce one of the great one-liners in history because – David Faraday said that week that Faldo was going to have to leave early to fly home to be present at the birth of his next wife.
Right.
Wow.
That's funny, guys.
That's pretty funny. Makes me laugh.
That is funny.
We met Nick and Nance. I don't know where you stand on Jim Nance. Jim Nance has been so nice to us. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He had us up in the
tower.
Well,
Nance is a charming guy.
Yes. He was unreal.
Yeah. He once said to me when he was on, when I had the radio show on CBS, he was on, and he said something to me like, well, you know, John, you and I live pretty much the same life. He was talking about travel. And I said, no, Jim, I don't fly on charter airplanes everywhere I go. I don't have people waiting to pick me up. But yeah, thanks for the sentiment. But no, Nance is a very nice guy. We disagree politically, but as you guys know, I disagree politically with a lot of people.
Right. What? By the way, what's going on with you and Dick going back at each other?
You know, this is I like Dick. I really
who are we talking about?
I feel
like
you
do. He likes me.
On social, they go back and forth about Patino.
Which
Dick?
Yeah,
I mean,
Dick fights out.
Dick wants to forgive everybody. I mean, I think that's just his nature. Although Sean Miller must have done something to him because he attacked Sean Miller. He's the exception to the rule. He's still defending Rick Pitino, who's only been, you know, found guilty about 43 different times. And I get frustrated sometimes. And he tweeted the other day that the NCAA, you know, is punishing innocent kids with the Oklahoma State's 1 year of sanctions. And I get tired of hearing that. First of all, none of us knows who's innocent and who's not in college sports. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, how else do you punish if you're the NCAA? Now, they have created the show cause for coaches. So in the case of Oklahoma State, if they want to go after Brad Underwood, who's now at Illinois, they can do that. But I just tweeted at him that, come on, Dick, you know, what else is the NCAA? If you give me something else the NCAA can do to punish cheaters, fine. But you never do. You just say let everybody off the hook.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, Oklahoma State people started screaming at me that, you know, that it was all the one assistant coach, Lamont Evans, who went to jail,
yeah.
And nobody else did anything wrong. And Dick then tweeted, nobody in the program now was at Oklahoma State when this happened. That's not true. Mike Boynton, who's the head coach, was there as an assistant. And I'm not casting any doubt on Boynton. And we actually had a very good phone conversation, he and I,
right.
About the whole thing. But I was one of the guys who wrote years ago that Dick should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I know.
I'm glad he is.
Yeah.
But we disagree on stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I disagree with everybody all the time. But
come on. Part of my job, I think, is to point out when apologists and marketing people defend the indefensible. And I'm not saying Oklahoma State's indefensible. I'm speaking generally.
Yeah.
And you know, when you do that, people are going to attack you. I mean, I'm still being attacked for saying that the Nats shouldn't have sat Strasburg in 2012.
Well, this is where I'd have a problem with that Oklahoma State thing. And I could be wrong on this, but if they gave them the 1 year of sanctions and they were penalized, whether it was no postseason or whatever, but if a kid wanted to transfer, he shouldn't have to sit out.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And you know what? I learned something from all this. My impression for years had been that if a team is under NCAA sanctions, players can transfer and not sit out. But it's only for the number of years that the sanctions are. You know, Oklahoma State doesn't have any seniors on their team this year.
Right.
So they didn't have anybody on the team. They've had two kids transfer anyway, and they'll apply for waivers to play right away, and they might get them. But they can't automatically play right away unless they're going into their senior year. That's a ridiculous rule.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's dumb.
If you are at a school that is sanctioned and can't play postseason and you weren't part of it,
right,
then you should be able to transfer and play right away.
So that's where I would agree with Dick. That's where I would agree with Dick.
I don't disagree with Dick at all.
Yeah.
John.
And that wasn't really the part of the argument between he and I.
I'm always just sort of fascinated by people. So what I'm fascinated by with you is, though, so I'm a sucker. I'm a softy at the end of the day. And, like, when people apologize to me, I accept it usually. Or if they say something, I usually believe them. I'm just naive that way, I suppose. But I know you, like, so, like, can Pitino do anything to ever win you over? Or is he dead to you forever?
Actually, he did. It's funny you say that because, I mean, I don't dislike Rick personally. I just think you have to, you know, he stood up at an alumni meeting in Louisville several years ago and said to the alumni, if one of my players has a beer in this town, I know about it. A week later, the Madam scandal broke,
mm-hmm.
And he said, this has been going on for 4 or 5 years. I knew nothing about it.
Right.
It was all a 22-year-old assistant coach who did that.
Right.
Does anybody believe that?
No.
I mean, coaches, generally speaking, are control freaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best coaches are super control freaks. And now Pitino said, I knew nothing. He was Sergeant Schultz.
Yeah.
Same thing with the thing with Adidas. And I just don't buy it. But several years ago, Rick and I had gone back and forth when he was at Kentucky about a number of things. I had made a joke about the fact that he'd written two autobiographies before he'd won a national championship. That was my lead on a column at the Final Four when they lost to Michigan.
I like that dig. I appreciate it.
Don't get on
it.
John's bad
and
side,
but when he did win in 96, he did this long interview in the Cat's Paws, which is, you know, the house organ for Kentucky.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of breathlessly said, Coach, are you going to write another book? And he said, well, yeah, I am going to write another book no matter what John Feinstein says.
Right.
So somebody sent me the piece, and I took the thing, and I wrote a note to Rick, and I said, Rick, now it's okay. You won a national championship.
Right.
Go right ahead.
Right.
And a couple of years later, he actually walked up to my brother at Wingfoot before a member guest.
Yeah.
And introduced himself. Somebody pointed Bobby out to him, I guess. And he says, I just wanted to tell you that even though your brother and I disagree all the time, I respect the hell out of his work. And I kind of jumped on that and invited him to come and play in the charity tournament that Tom Watson and I had put together years ago, you know, to raise money for ALS research. And Rick came and played. So
and you still hammer him at every opportunity.
Sorry?
You still hammer him.
Compartmentalizes
him. Well, again, it's not personal.
It is kind of personal.
It sounds like it is.
It is personal,
and actually,
though.
What I've done most recently is hammer Vital for trying to claim that he's innocent. He's not.
I know, but it does come off personal if you just keep hammering him.
Well, you got to, as I said to the Oklahoma State people tweeting at me that I should die because I wanted them to be on probation forever, which is not close to what I said.
Right.
You got to read what I write.
Yeah.
And listen to what I say. I've never said Rick Pitino's. Now, there are some things he's done in his life personally that aren't very admirable. That have nothing to do with basketball. We know that.
All of us.
Yeah, but we've all done bad stuff. So, you know, I don't really hammer
on that. Yeah, but I've never done Pitino level bad
stuff. You know when the first time
stuff.
Rick Pitino was investigated?
What
when
was
he
that?
He was at Hawaii 35 years ago as an assistant.
I didn't even know he was in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, the NCAA did.
Well, he can coach. The one thing he can do is he can coach.
Oh, he's a great coach. He's absolutely a great coach. I mean, anybody who says he's not a great coach is crazy.
Yeah.
He's one of the best coaches ever. And I used to say, I've sort of stopped it because it was mean, that Rick's such a good coach that he's almost as good as he thinks he is.
Right. See, it's always a shot.
I said used to say.
Yeah. I wish I had sex in a restaurant. I'd brag about it every day.
To your wife?
Yeah, but not when you were married with another woman.
Not to your wife.
To your wife?
No, to his buddies.
He was married with like six kids at the time.
I know, but still.
But still?
But still, he doesn't know what he's saying.
He's just being goofy.
I'm not breaking down his particulars.
You
of
want
his
that
case.
Feather in your cap?
Yes.
Hey, you still got time?
Sex on balconies.
So he ended up having to sit in a courtroom because the woman blackmailed him.
It wasn't worth it.
And the lawyer, the prosecutor or whatever, asked him about the incident and said, "And how long did this go on for, Mr. Pitino?" And he said, no, it took about 15 seconds.
Right.
So therefore, his nickname after that became Quickie Ricky. You want that, Eric?
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
I know.
That is funny.
Quickie Bicky.
All right, so you have a good weekend. You got any plans this weekend?
Jane's going to take a golf lesson. We're going to swim, and I do have some work to do. But no, we're not going away.
Not
I am going, out for lunch today.
Oh, where?
You where?
Going?
Yeah, to the Palm at Tyson's.
Oh, nice.
Along with my friend
spot.
Gene Wong, who is sort of the mayor of that restaurant.
Right.
And we're going to sit outside and see what happens. I'll wear a mask, obviously, and eat some good food, I hope.
Right.
Sure, you will.
It'll be an
Tim.
Adventure. Who would ever think going to lunch on a Friday would become an adventure?
Yeah.
You'll have fun. Tell Timmy Seymour we said what's up.
I will tell Tim hello. He's one of the good guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. All right. Thank you, John.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
have a good weekend.
All right, man.
Cheers.
You too.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the name Tim Seymour, I just feel guilty that I still haven't checked out Peaky Blinders because he loved it so
much. I know,
so
he
much.
Loves Peaky Blinders.
My son swears by that. He says it's a great show.
Yeah.
Jason,
yeah.
I'm sorry. If you hammer Pitino every time,
it's
personal.
It's definitely personal.
How is it not personal?
Yeah, he's just not telling the truth, though. I know, I agree.
Yeah.
He can compartmentalize, EB.
Yeah, I know, but that's just
he likes Pitino to come to his golf tournament.
But see, when John said,
that, hammers him.
When John said, and talking about Pitino, you know, coaches are control freaks. I totally agree with that and believe
it's totally
that.
True.
And that's why when we talk about the Zion thing with Duke and Coach K, if it turns out to be true that Zion was getting or the family was getting paid, whatever, I find it hard to believe. And I know Eric probably disagrees with this.
No, I might not.
I find it hard to believe he didn't know something was going on.
Because Nike was paying or somebody else was paying.
Because coaches are control freaks, and I just think they know everything about their program.
I think
looks
that,
the
that,
other
that,
way.
Yeah,
so again,
that's what they do. They look the other way.
I think that's probably true, and I don't think I ever disputed that. What I dispute is Mike, he compartmentalizes that, I'm sure, but Mike probably has his line as nobody here at Duke is going to pay him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't believe Coach K was handing over cash. No, he would never do that.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll talk some NBA with Tim Bontemps coming up. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk to the ESPN NBA insider. But next, shift gears. Touch on the Hollywood, the music scene, get the latest celebrity gossip from EB in the entertainment page. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to open up the entertainment page here momentarily, but Cakes just retweeted a picture from our HFS days. It's just disturbing to look how young we were.
You did, Cakes?
Ooh, can you put it on the Hangout? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think so. My wife tweeted it first, and I just retweeted it like 2 minutes ago.
All right. What year was it?
We look so young.
Was it 03 or?
Oh, I mean, that's what the OAR guys?
The years we were at HFS, what, 03, 04?
So I was 33 years old. I was 33 and silly.
I guess I could just go to your Twitter page.
Yeah, please do. At Money Metal Cakes.
That's the first time we met the guys, actually.
Hold on.
I think.
How do I do this?
Dude.
Twitter.com, Ricky.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
As I was 33 and silly, and I still took a horrible picture.
As I retweeted, I was like, this is not the greatest picture of Eric, but he's just going to have to, you know,
get
what are you going to do?
On the Google.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I suck so bad at taking pictures.
Mr. Photogenic.
I'm telling you, I'm friggin' handsome in person. This is unbelievable.
All right,
but
so
I don't care.
Oh, those are the OAR
silly.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah. That's Mark and Richard.
So what
Chris,
year was that?
Terry.
Probably 03.
Yeah. It was either 03 or 04. I was 33 and silly.
Am I wearing a visor? Am I wearing
yes.
a visor?
Yeah, you might have been doing a visor bit.
Who wears a visor?
I used to wear visors.
Cool guys wear visors.
I guess 17 years ago we did.
What is that shirt that I'm wearing,
Cakes? It's the Norman, I believe. It's the Greg Norman. You're wearing the shark, aren't you, Jason?
I don't know. I can't
tell. That looks like a nubby Greg Norman visor.
I think so.
Yeah, it's a poopy one. I would never wear that now. Yeah.
EB, I think you're wearing a Hoop Dreams t-shirt from a charity gig.
Yeah.
Like a charity basketball game.
And you
gig,
see I'm like, wearing like hurting glasses.
Hat
and my face
backwards.
Is fat. But I still was silly. I'm telling you.
There's Richard Ahn who lives a neighborhood over.
Yeah, Richard's awesome. All those guys, they're the nicest guys.
See, they really are.
I've chosen not to do it, but that's what the hair looked like when it was dark. So silly. And just as an homage to our
Cakes
friend
looks
Brett.
Good. Look how good Cakes looks.
Of course it looks silly.
How about that Britney poster?
Handsome. I was going to say for Brett, there's Britney in the shot right there. Half
hey,
of her face.
Can you post some more of these so I can just remember how silly we used to be?
We just put it up at Junks Radio for the listeners who want to check it out on Twitter or at Money Metal Cakes.
I mean, I legit have gray pubes now.
Look, what was the Blue Shorts tweet? When I with the no one cares about you, what you shot, all that stuff. What is that all about?
Because that hat is nubby. You said, I'm guessing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Did Shorts just tweet that? You said you wouldn't wear that nubby visor. You wear that, I don't care. Like, I think that hat is nubs. Yeah, I know
Peter
Millar.
No one cares what you shot.
It's funny, though.
It is funny, but it's nubs. I would never wear that.
Why?
It's mildly amusing, like the video Eric was raving about yesterday.
Oh, no,
I just think it's funny.
The video was the best. It's the funniest video I've ever seen.
Because there's so many people, there's so many golfers that they'll tell you what they shoot before you ask them.
Right.
The theme is perfect. Everyone agrees with the theme. It looks hurting on a hat, though. Like, why don't you just put Dawn with the Wind on your hat or something?
It's a lot of letters.
Why don't you put Shakespeare?
It's a lot of writing.
You put War and Peace on your hat.
but that's to get the message across. You have to put that many letters.
Put it on a T-shirt. Don't put it on a hat.
Well,
see,
maybe
that's a
there are, maybe there I, are yeah. T-shirts. In fact, I think they do have T-shirts.
Right. You don't put, give me some common phrase, Cakes.
I'm not saying I'd wear it on the golf course.
You wouldn't have a hat set in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, but
in a goofy TV show, I think it's funny.
I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
It's a hat for like 25-year-olds.
I mean, it's just, it's hurting.
I like it.
The shark hat, the shark visor pummels it.
And because the shark visor is like a C-minus hat.
Hey, I'm going to keep wearing age-inappropriate clothing. I know I probably shouldn't wear Metallica and Iron Maiden T-shirts all the time, but I don't care. Who cares?
Jason, I have a tea time
what I like.
At 11:11 today, right?
Yeah.
And I literally smell like a horse.
Are you going to tell me where it is or not?
I'll tell you during the break. I literally smell like a horse's butt. And I got to race upstairs, shower, put my clothes on. You know how I hate rushing.
Let me
I
ask
hate
you this.
That.
What state is it in?
It's in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
It's in Maryland.
And it's public course.
Private. But it's not it's nothing extraordinary.
Well, you said you had to pay. You got to pay the guest fee?
Yes.
Well, you just put it on the chat.
Is it Manor?
I'm not going to say, and I don't want you to say, because I don't want to give free pub.
I like Manor.
I don't want to give free. I like this place, too. But if, since I'm paying.
Well, maybe, how do you know you're paying?
Because I know I've done this bit before at this place. All right, ready?
Yeah.
No one cares what you shoot.
I know no one cares where I play either. But don't say anything that's going to make it uncomfortable for me when I go there today.
I'm not.
Okay.
I might.
Yeah, okay,
I
can't promise.
I won't say anything.
Oh, yeah. I like that place.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. But if I'm going to pay, I'm not doing
I got a couple buddies that are members there.
Yeah, I'm not doing freebies.
Okay, you know, well.
I'm into payola.
All right, let's
see
open
what
up the
what you need
page.
To do is now throw out the name, and then they're going to hear it, and they're going to say, nah, we can't charge him.
No, because they didn't care last time I was out there. So
yeah,
they don't
probably
care.
Don't care.
Yeah, a lot of people don't care. Yeah, so it's fine.
All right, let's open up the entertainment page, EB. It's brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda's awesome. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice. A little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. You enter the code JUNKIES. You get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
And
I'm going to be distraught when, I'm not going to say if, when I lose this koozie. Because I will lose it at some point. I'm going to be salty.
My wife
happens.
Uses her koozies all the time. She loves them. I'm not really a koozie guy, but she loves the
I love
koozie.
Bob.
Oh, I'm a koozie guy.
Even the Caps koozie?
I'm an Evgeny koozie guy. I'm a Wave Soda koozie guy. All koozie all the time.
Right. By the way, just for the record, I would be playing at Blue Mash or Waverly. That's my. Uh-huh. Those are. I'm actually member.
But they're
like
jam packed. They're going to crank out 400 rounds each
today. 280 rounds a day. You know, if you can't get your time in, you're doomed. So,
right.
Just for the record, that's my home course.
Yes.
Waverly and Blue Mash.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you can't get on there.
I mean, I told you I could, but I'm not going to play in a twosome with two donks. I don't
know. Tom Healy should. Every single day, block off a certain time for you just in case you want to play.
Yeah, I thought you had more clout.
I'm not. I would never ask him to do that, and he would never do that. No, he's a businessman. But I mean, they're packed.
You know how many free mentions he gets a week?
I know, but I would never ask him to do that.
They have the weirdest relationship.
I know.
Tom and I?
It's your best friend. And
he's afraid to ask him for a tea time.
Yeah.
I don't like to ask people for stuff.
I know, but this is your best friend. You tell
Hang
him
out with
everything.
Me for a
I
while.
I actually did ask him. And he told me what was available. He was going to hook me, but he's not going to bump somebody.
Yeah, but that's you were desperate. Usually
gonna,
you won't ask.
He's not going to bump a paying customer for that.
He's not going to bump a paying customer. I would never ask him to do that, too. Every time I ask, I cringe anyway. I don't like asking people for stuff except if they're giving me, like on the air,
yeah,
I do. Like clickers.
That free computer.
Yeah, but this is real world.
I don't like asking.
No.
Computer is in real world?
No.
Leave the league.
No. On the radio? This is like fake world. This is not. I'll do anything here.
You're like a different person once the mic goes on.
Yes, in real life, I don't like to ask for stuff. I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
But you put the red light on. Now it's on. I'll ask for anything. I was gonna go on and ask to go play at like River Bend or something. But I got
That's my track.
Yeah, but you know whatever.
Anyway. I'm not even sure they're allowing guests yet.
Why is that weird, Drabby?
I just heard you mention a thousand times over the years how you're afraid to ask Tom for something. And this is your best friend.
I don't like to
you
ask.
You should bother the hell out of him.
I know, and he always says you can ask. But I also know, because he's a human being, that he's working. And the last thing, think about it. I only care about me at the end of the day and my family. He only cares about him. So if he's working, now he's in Chicago, he's got to call, wait, you know what I mean? It's I don't like to bother people for stuff like that.
Just because we're talking about it, I'm texting him right now, and I'm going to ask him for a tea time next week.
I think you should. Where are you going to have drinks after, Jason?
this
I'm
is not...
an old callback.
It is. He was... yeah,
I don't know. There's some place over there I really like.
Jason went out and brought like 16 guys out to play, the four foursomes, unlike on July 4th at noon. And then And then Tom hooked him, and then Jason brought the whole crew to across the street to some terrible
some
retail
trashy place,
like a
dive bar.
Because the bartender was hot, and they spent all their money at that bar.
No, well, because the drinks were cheaper.
You think that wasn't sound motivation?
Right.
Squeak, squeak.
I mean, why would you look at a big, fat, hurt-themed bartender? You could look at a hottie.
Now, Paulie just sent another picture from 2011?
Yeah.
And I mean, I look like the Grim Reaper.
Where did he send
that? Was 9 years ago.
I can't take a good picture.
Mr. Photogenic.
I'm so handsome in person.
Really?
Yes. Yes. I don't know how to. Cakes takes a great picture.
I look kind of silly in that pic.
I'll be
God
honest.
I'm money. I'm just money.
I'm way better looking than Cakes, but he takes a great picture. He does. Cakes, except when he does
this. You know
what?
You can't mess with the man. You got to look at the man in the mirror at some point, EB. It's a great point, Cakes.
No.
At some point.
Tom Healy just sent me a text. Sure. What day? What course? That's how easy it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah.
He said it back in 3 seconds.
I know, but that's because you don't care. You don't really care.
I told him I was joking, but he definitely would have hooked me.
Is
I care.
Listening? Ask him if he's listening.
He goes, as you know, things are booking up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, he's got to. Of course he's listening.
Hey, call him. Can we come back and just call Tom for a second? And we can have Drabby. We could just hash this out on air.
I love it that we just bombarded the EP.
That's your dream come true.
Oh, it's so funny.
Call Tom, and he doesn't like to be on the air, but just tell him he has to come on, and we'll just discuss the situation.
Right.
He's definitely being on air regular back in the day.
He's either listening or he heard about it. Because
well, you just texted him.
That's what I'm saying. But he said, as you know, things are booking up, and he gave me the little one-eyed wink emoji.
Oh, he did like a wink bit?
Yeah.
I'm surprised
he did
he's
the
up.
Wink emoji.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't get up until 10, I thought. I didn't even think he gets up.
All right.
Well, if I were worth what he's worth, I wouldn't get up until 10 either.
Right.
Every
What's the point?
Day.
Right.
All right, let's take a break. We'll try and track down Banana Peel Tom Healy.
Banana Peel Healy.
And maybe we'll get to the entertainment page. Remember, at 9 o'clock, we'll dive into the NBA, the return of the NBA with Tim Bontemps from ESPN here in the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Tim Bontemps, NBA reporter for ESPN, will join us. We'll find out the latest on the NBA, which, as far as I know, is about a month away from starting. I think they're going to start training camps in the next week or two. So we look forward to that in a month.
As long as there's no setbacks.
Yeah, hope that's the case. Track down Banana Peel Healy.
Yeah, I have to, real quick, before we get to, I think he's calling right now. I do have to thank Chuck, because Chuck did just text me that he got my tee time for Tuesday at Raspberry Falls. So, thank you. I got to let my volleyball guys know that we're in. That's my group out there. So.
Yeah, you're going to love Raspberry.
Well, you act like I haven't played there 100 times.
Well, I'm saying, you know, it's been there a while.
It's been a long time, though, dude. That place is so deep.
Believe we shot a segment of Junk's TV there, remember?
No,
yeah,
I don't remember.
What I was do, that? Actually.
What was that, 15 years ago?
It was 2005 because I had the Fentley. Pretty sure. Does that make sense in the timeline?
I think it was, it was during the HFS years, actually.
2004, I got it. When it was a 2005, I got it in 2004. Yeah, I had the silly Fentley.
You did. Right. You had that blicky all tricked out.
Right. Did the pimp your ride? Where'd you go to? The hookup? What was the place called?
I went to the hookup. You remember
the hookup.
That. With cue ball.
Cue ball in the hookup. Man,
some old Friday show leads the league in old references.
All right,
this
so
week.
Is Tom there? Tom.
All right, hold on. He says he's not answering. Hold on. I'm going to give you the phone number. He's probably in the shower. He doesn't like to be on the air. Do you think he
gets
listen?
Very uncomfortable right. on the air?
Do you think
you know
he
when he
listening?
Showers, but you won't ask him for golf?
Well, if he was just texting, like normally he would answer.
It's very intimate information.
No, I just know his deal. Like, he would answer you. He wouldn't avoid the call.
Right.
I mean, maybe he would. Hold on. I'm putting in this.
Did you say he was in Chicago now, or is he local?
No, he's in town right now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, we were supposed to play Thursday.
The last time I saw Tommy Healy, by the way, he came and played poker in my basement, and he got into it with Squirrel, a.k.a. Glenn Hardesty, over some action at the table. And it became awkward with the quickness.
Right. I heard about that.
Yeah. Shocker, it was awkward.
Shocker Squirrel made something awkward.
Well, it was definitely awkward. I think now we got past it, but it was in the moment, awkward.
By the way, I got to give a shout-out to my buddy, Coach Kevin Jones, who just had his second child. He just sent me a picture, and there's nothing better than that. So he's actually going to sneak out and play some holes with me today. But
props to him and his family.
Coach Jones just had his second baby, man. I miss that. I mean, I'm 50, so it's over for me. But I do miss them when they're so young.
You can adopt the kid, Rick, if you want to start the clock all over again.
No, I honestly, I would. But
there'll be grandkids
soon. But I'm dead at, like, 53 and the kid's 3. I don't want to leave him. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm die.
So you have less than 3 years left on planet Earth. Like, hey, you know what? You never know. Hey, right. I mean, mock it. You just never know.
I don't want to leave my kid without a father. And then, you know, Dina marry some new guy.
I could have an aneurysm at 9:15 today.
Oh, yeah.
I could.
Listen to the optimists.
It could happen.
Right. We only have a couple minutes.
Hope
Tom's
it won't.
Online. We tracked him down after Jason texted him.
Uh-huh. So
what's
funny.
Up, Banana Peel, Tom Healy?
What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. Just to give a little history to the listeners, you've been involved with the show really since the early years. We did the Clash of Blue Mash and all this stuff, but you used to judge contests on the show. What was the favorite?
I'm sure he doesn't want to be reminded of that.
Yeah, but what was the favorite contest you judged?
Well, probably the athletes of the one of the bikini contests or something, right?
Yeah.
Don't remember.
We used to do, like, sexy tattoo. We did, like, a bunch of hack contests.
Well, he did, though. Did you judge when we had Rodney Pete and all those guys?
That was past my time. I was early. I was an early judge when you had nobody doing judging.
Right.
Back when we couldn't pull, like, John Pacey.
John Pacey and Rodney Pete and Jeff Akers would come in and judge. And,
yeah, those are real celebs.
No. I was not a celebrity judge. I was... Okay,
you were a dog judge like Sacktown.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you judge? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think it was like bikini contests, things like that, in the old studio, in the conference room.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, that was way back
then
when.
He'd come in for like fantasy drafts. We used to do like an hour and a half of fantasy football. Our draft, like anybody cared about our draft on the nighttime show.
We kind of created that because now everybody does that. Now listen, Tom. So were you listening before when they were breaking my balls?
No.
Oh, really?
So you have no idea.
You didn't hear the conversation?
No, I didn't hear anything. I got a text from Jason, and that's it. Yeah, so what were they busting your balls
by? By the way, it's just Jason breaking your balls, EB. I don't think Cakes and I were breaking your balls.
No, Drab was too.
Okay.
Yeah, I was for sure.
Drab, why don't you set it up then?
Well, it's just been Rick and me, Tom, for years that EB says you guys are best friends, you talk all the time, you're texting everything, but he won't ever ask you for a favor or to play golf on your course.
I do ask him, but... He
begs 10 other courses to avoid asking you.
He feels uncomfortable asking you for tee times.
He knows. I've talked to him about this.
And I don't get it.
And then Jason was saying, I've given Blue Mash so many mentions, he said I should have a carved out tee time.
Every single day.
Yeah, I mean, he used to have
off an hour for him.
You used to have a sandwich there, right? Didn't you used to have a sandwich?
EBLT. Yes. They took it off the menu,
you had
though.
A sandwich? Come on.
What?
You had a sandwich. You guys aren't that strong that, you know, a mention really means anything. So.
Right. I'll tell you what he told me last night.
That's funny.
No, I don't know. Because I was telling Tom my saga, too, because I felt bad. I was calling. You know, Tom's working out, and it's 7:30 at night. I'm grasping, trying to get a tee time. I mean, the guy's getting 350 rounds a day. What can I do?
Seriously, you do work angle. Like, this is what happens. To avoid asking Tom, you text me, hey, give me the guy from Rendition's number. Now you know Dave Long. He's great. Yeah. Or then you text Valdez. Hey, Valdez, give me the hookup over here. You're grasping every which way to get contacts when you have a direct line.
I know, but
that's
he's
not
booked.
True. That's not true also. I mean, Eric asked me for tee times. I mean, he goes out there and plays with his boys or his brother or whoever. And he asked me yesterday. It was just maybe it was too late and he couldn't find anything else. But yeah, the problem is
they're too booked.
For some reason, golf's popular.
You're
again.
Making cash, aren't you? Just making so much money.
Well, we're trying to make up for what we were close for 45 days. So.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. Yeah, you got screwed because
you're touching a sore spot now.
Yeah. The hoaxster had you guys shut down over here in VA. We were wide open.
The hoaxster. You've talked to him once. Now you're calling him the hoaxster.
Hey, he's a DeMatha guy.
Tom, you want to talk about corn? I wish Valdez was here because he would have his pants around his ankles. You want to just talk about
that? By the way, Drab, does that make you feel bad? That's the second time EB's dropped. I wish Valdez was here.
I know.
Well, he doesn't. Drab doesn't care about golf.
That is true.
Tom, you want to give like your little corn fairy little announcement?
Oh yeah.
Tom,
sure.
What is it?
Happy to. I mean, it doesn't affect this market very much.
But, I know, but it's cool. It's a cool
pretty cool
thing.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at our club in Chicago, we're going to host the Corn Ferry event this year in September.
Can you tell them why?
Pardon me?
Can you say why, like why you're into it?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we've been talking to the PGA Tour for several years now about hosting a bigger event, and this is going to be a test for leading up to hopefully getting the BMW in a few years.
Yeah, right. Sweet.
Do you think you'll have as many people in attendance as you did for the original clash at Blue Mash between me and Cakes?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I think that we may have had more at the clash. I don't think they're going to have anybody.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Tom, would you do this? Would you give us access so that we could broadcast from if you guys ever get the BMW?
Of course.
We could broadcast from the clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, I have no say in that, but sure.
Go ahead. You have no say? The PGA Tour would have to approve it?
I'm assuming they would, because basically what happens is you sign a contract with the PGA Tour, and they take over your property for that week.
Right.
They get the rights holder.
Yeah, they're not beyond that. I mean, Tom can't even tell anybody what to do, I think, that week, right?
But we could probably broadcast from the parking lot like the Redskins used to make us do.
Yeah, but that's no fun.
Right.
Like, I want to have the silly inside access and walk around like we're the big swinging, you know, Johnson.
How are we going to get there?
You wouldn't pay your own flight even if we had to?
pay for my own flight to go to Chicago
And broadcast for the BMW and get interview all the guys?
Top 70.
How do you know we can interview all the guys? We might not
We're
have
gonna
one
be
guy.
In access. They'll hook it.
We don't even know if this is going to happen. Why are we arguing?
Well, I know Entercom's not going to pay for it.
I know. I pay to go out there and play anyway. We wouldn't play that week.
I'm hoping it happens.
I hope it happens too. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be
all right.
Awesome.
I'll go out there and I'll do my I'll do the Time and Room podcast from out there.
Yeah, I'm sure the PGA Tour is going to really like that.
Right. You're doing a lax podcast.
Do you want to do the golf podcast? I've been thinking about doing that one. It's another pain in my butt, though. You want to do that one, Tom?
Man, you're setting it up nice.
He's too busy making cash.
Seems like a lot of work.
It's a dramatic pause.
He had said that he wanted to do it. He comes on air and he big times me.
No. I don't have much time these days.
That's a no.
No, I'd love to do it. It sounds fun, but it sounds fun for like 2 weeks. And then what are you going to talk about each time?
No, you got to get a guest. We'll make you a guest booker.
I think Tom's more about being a guest than being a co-host from the sound of it.
Yeah.
Well, he's not the most riveting guest.
Yeah, as you can see, I'm not very good on radio.
All right, Tom, we got to run.
All right, Tom.
Catch up with you.
All right, thank you.
Book that tee time for me.
We'll do
an early supporter of the Junkies.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. Two foursomes.
Yeah. If you went to the early years, he's one of the very early supporters of the Junkies. Yes,
Okay.
All right, coming up next, we talk some NBA. Tim Bontemps from ESPN will give us the latest here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.